As we just heard, in addition to Indonesia, Sri Lanka has been hit hard by this disaster. Aid agencies are rushing crews and supplies to the country. And as NPR's Jason Beaubien reports, Sri Lankans are beginning to bury the dead.
The Panadura Youth Center is no longer about youth. This week, it's about dying. This is the fifth funeral in the Mildewed Hall today. Yesterday, there were four corpses waiting for burial. The day before that, there were eight. A Buddhist monk in an orange sarong chants beside the closed casket. Women in saris kneel on the floor, their hands clasped before them in prayer, gently sobbing. The deceased was a fisherman. He was trapped under a pile of rubble on Sunday when the waves crashed across Panadura. It took 3 days to find him. The monk waves a small fan to fend off the stench. Irajati Fernando runs the youth center. Fernando says the body was found near the railway tracks that run along the beach. Traditionally, Sri Lankan Buddhists hold funerals in their own homes, but most of these people no longer have homes, so they've gathered in this youth center, several hundred yards from the now menacing sea. Fernando says one of the final insults of the tsunamis is that its victims can't even get a proper traditional funeral. The streets in Panadura are lined with rubble. The waves turned what were already poor communities into heaps of shattered timbers and crumpled corrugated tin. Even solid cement houses were leveled. A few miles down the coast, another fisherman, Chanda Pala Pereira, is picking through a pile of boards that used to be his house. At about 9:30 in the morning, he says, a 40-foot wave came crashing against the beach. Then all the water washed back out to sea. People went to the water's edge to watch, Pereira says, and that's when the second wave came. The second one wiped out all the houses and pulled several dozen people out into the churning ocean. The government has told him not to rebuild here, but he says this is the only land he has. Pereira says he's now afraid of the ocean, but he has no choice but to rebuild here by the shore. Aid agencies say this disaster is in its infancy, and the rebuilding effort will take months. Relief groups are just beginning to get emergency medical care, shelter, and water treatment to parts of Sri Lanka that were almost entirely destroyed by the massive waves. Alistair Gordon Gibson, the country representative for the International Federation of the Red Cross in Sri Lanka, says many parts of the country are still inaccessible because they're either underwater or the roads leading to them have been destroyed. He says his priority right now is getting relief workers out into the field.
I've got assessment teams on the ground now. I've got medical teams who have arrived in from Finland, France, another one coming in from Japan. So the international response has been good. Getting them onto the field, active, up and running, before any further deterioration in the potentially serious health situation with all this stagnant water and contaminated water in the country at the moment.
Currently, some 2 million people in Sri Lanka are homeless, and water supplies across much of the country have been contaminated. The fear for humanitarian workers such as Gordon Gibson with the Red Cross is that deadly waterborne diseases could hit this area even harder than the initial tsunamis. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Colombo, Sri Lanka.